all throughout this month of February, we've been talking about love. Loving God, loving people. And that's these few verses that are condensed here in this great commandment in Matthew 22. If you'll look there with me again this morning, Matthew 22 and verse 36. If you remember, whenever Jesus spoke, there were always those opposers, scribes and Pharisees. Most of the time, it was religious leaders who were coming against him, trying to trip him up, trying to catch him in an error. And they failed in every attempt to do that. They were not successful. So finally, they send a lawyer. This was a man that was well-trained. I guess you would say he was an expert in the law of God, and came to him with a question, one of those gotcha-type questions, to try to catch him in an error. Once again, the Scripture says that this man, this lawyer, comes to him and asks him the question. It's verse 36. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so the response of Jesus was from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. He gave the answer to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else, all of the law that these Jewish experts were talking about, all the 620-some laws, not only the Ten Commandments, but all these various laws that they were familiar with, Jesus said, you put it all into a nutshell, and this is it. Love God with all of your heart, and love people. So we've been looking at that throughout this month of February. For those of you that have been unable to be here, I'll just give you a real quick rundown here. First, we talked about religion that has no heart. Religion that has no heart. And we know that religion in and of itself will corrupt itself. But when there is heart, when there is a person who has committed himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, then his life will be a life that will make a difference. There has to be more than rules, more than a ritual. There has to be a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then out of that pours out everything good. The Bible says that out of your heart flow the issues of life. Everything else pours from your heart. So it's important to get your heart right with God. Amen. Out of the heart flows everything. So really, when we love the Lord, we honor Him, we serve the Lord, we obey the Lord, and we do it not because we're compelled to do it, forced to do it. We do it because we desire to do it. We have a heart for God. And that's the key to success in your walk with the Lord. The second week, we talked about returning to your first love and how important it is. It doesn't take long. You can serve the Lord for a while, but if you're not careful, you'll drift away from that really close fellowship with the Lord. And the church at Ephesus was a church that had all these wonderful qualities about them. They hated evil. They hated false teachers. They were hard workers. I mean, they had so many wonderful qualities about them. But Jesus said there in Revelation 2, I have somewhat against you. You have left, you've walked away from your first love. And because of that, the only answer, the only cure for that was to get back to God. He said, you need to return. You need to repent. You need to get back to that first love that you had when you first came to know the Lord. And I think all of us, we can identify with that. If you serve the Lord for any length of time, it's easy to kind of cool off in your relationship with the Lord. If you're not faithful to God, faithful to His Word, faithful in fellowship with the saints of God, you'll find yourself cooling off pretty quick. And it's so important because the Lord said, remain true to me. Love me with all of your heart, soul, and mind. That's the commandment of the Lord. So loving God is where is the key. And then second, loving people. Last week we talked about the new commandment that's there in John chapter 13. The new commandment that I've given unto you, that you should love one another. And it's talking about more or less the fellowship among Christians, that there is a special bond, a special relationship that should be in the church and among the people of God. Amen. I've said many times, I've witnessed people who said, I'm really closer to my church family than I am to my own family, my own physical family, because maybe they don't serve the Lord or they're distant from you for some reason, and you tend to get close to those people that you fellowship with, those that are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we begin to build relationships in the house of God, and we begin to bear one another's burdens. We care for one another. It's interesting that 61 different times in the scripture, the one another phrase is used. 61 different times in all different types of ways. Love one another, but not just love one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another, and on the various ways that we are to work together. I learned this week that the word saint is not really a biblical term. It's saints, plural. That's the biblical term. Nowhere in the scripture will you find saint. It's always saints. It's always that we are better when we are together, when we work together, when we pray together, when we're bound together. That's the will of God, that we love one another and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse 35, John 13 and 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. When there's that kind of a common bond between the people of God in the family of God, the world takes notice of that. The world notices that, and they long for that. And it's an attractive force to the world to say to them, I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to be a part of the people of God who worship together. Now, this morning, I want to just take these next few minutes just to talk to you a little bit about another aspect of loving people. And that is, if you are in the family of God, you're not complete, and the church is not complete, unless we love the lost. We love people that are without, people that are not a part of us, that are not here in fellowship with us. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the Word of God. They don't know what it is to have the joy that comes from serving the Lord. Now, I know that much of this is familiar to you, but there are three words, actually four, but three that are the most common words, New Testament words, that are translated as love. We know that one of those Greek words is the word eros, and it refers to romantic love, the kind of love that is between a man and a wife, romantic type love. That's eros. And then there is philos, which is brotherly love. That's just like the common love that you have for, you know, mankind. Just love and an interest in their well-being. That's philos. But then there is agape love. The Greek word is agapeo, and that word is the word agape love. That's the love that we learn about whenever we come into relationship with Jesus Christ. The love of God. God is love. He's the embodiment of love. Jesus was the embodiment of love. And he's the greatest expression of love that ever has been. And God is love. It's an unconditional love of the will of God. It doesn't matter if you deserve to be loved. I mean, people do wicked, evil things, and yet God so loves the world. He loves that person that's begging in some subway in Calcutta right now. I remember going down into the subways there in Bucharest, Romania, and beggars would line those steps as you would go down into the, and they were very pitiable condition, and it was a sad, terrible lifestyle that they had, of hopelessness that they had. God so loves the lowest and those that are living in the worst kind of horrible sins. God loves them because that's His nature. God is love, and God loves all of mankind. Amen. It's maybe a little bit difficult for us to comprehend this, but He does. He loves the unlovely, the undesirable, the ones that would be hard for you to love, but yet God loves. That's His nature. That's who He is, and that's the agape love, the love of God, that God has set His love upon you and upon me, and you can't do anything about that. God loves you, no matter what you've done. What a wonderful thing it is that a lot of people that I've talked to and witnessed to and said, please come to church, or and try to encourage them to turn to the Lord, and they have this opinion of themselves. No, I've done too many wicked, evil things. God could never accept me. And oh, how wrong they are. Because He can and He will. Whosoever will, the person that is in the worst sin imaginable, God loves them, and He's reaching for them. One theologian, a bunch of students were gathered around this theologian asking him all kinds of questions about the scripture and about spiritual knowledge, and they ask him, what is the greatest concept, spiritual concept that you've ever learned? And they were waiting for him to say some deep, amazing truth, and he just simply said, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Can you get any deeper than that? I don't think so. That's the greatest knowledge that could ever come to any man or any woman, and that is the fact that you're unworthy, you're undeserving, and none of us deserve it, but He loves us. Praise God. Oh, how wonderful that is. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You see, you can't love until you know the love of God. You don't have the capacity to love. The reason why you can't be an evangelist, the reason you can't reach out to the lost and love the lost, is because you need the love of God to be shed abroad in your hearts. Amen. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's who He is. That's His nature. It's His character. It's the best way to describe who He is. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. Amen. No better way to describe or to comprehend the love of God that should be in our hearts and that we should be showing to a world that is in desperate need of Jesus. Amen. Because of what He has done in your heart. The Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We've been consumed with the love of God by the Spirit of God. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, then you have a new commandment, a new life. You're a new person, and you love new things. Now that you are born again, the things that you used to love, you don't. The things that you didn't used to love, now you love them because you've been transformed by the grace of God and the love of God. Praise the Lord. And God is the one that gives to us this capacity to love, because it is not a natural thing. to love the world, to love the unlovely, to love the undeserving. But because he loves them, when you're born again, then you have this touch of God upon your life. You have this same love of God in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You have been changed. Praise God. You see, the church is, the Greek word is ecclesia, which just means call out. But then there's another word that's also a very prominent New Testament and Book of Acts word, and that is the word is translated apostle, apostolos, and that word means sent out. So the church are the called out. We have been called out, but then we have been called to be from this church, from our church, from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent out. We are the church that is to be sent out to the world. When that happens, evangelism happens. Whenever the called out become the sent out, and we begin to do what we have been called to do, and we're able to do that because of the love of God that is in our hearts. Amen. You know, we have to guard ourselves from being just this comfortable place where we come together and we enjoy one another, we enjoy worship, we enjoy studying the Word of God together, we enjoy our time together, and we're just comfortable. We like the church. We like the people of God. But we're not really the complete, we're not fulfilling our complete calling if all we do is find our comfortable place in the church. Because certainly it's important that we fellowship together and that we do it often. But we're not complete until we are also recognizing that we have a New Testament calling. We are compelled of the Spirit of God to be sent out, to have an impact, to touch people that are out there in this world. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. When the love of God is the way that it's supposed to be inside the church, then the world will take notice, and we will have an ability to have an impact upon the world that we could never have had before. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is good news to the world. It was good news when you heard it, and the world needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And you and I are the vessel. You and I are the means that God has chosen to use to send forth the gospel. So the love of God that's shed abroad, that has been shed abroad in our hearts, is also the love of God that compels us, it motivates us to reach out to those that have never heard the gospel ever before. And they desperately need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. John Currier was a man that lived about 75 years ago in the state of Tennessee. He was convicted of a crime and sentenced to life in prison. He was sent to a work farm in Tennessee. He worked for 20 years. At the close of the 20 years that he worked, he received his sentence was commuted. And so the notice was sent to the work farm, but somehow in the mistake of the upheaval of and the confusion of their offices there, he never got the notice. He worked 10 more years in that work farm, and he just didn't get the word that he was really a free man. He didn't know that he was a free man. There are a lot of people out there just like that. They don't know the Lord, and they don't even know that they need Jesus. They just know that their life, that there's an emptiness and a void in their life, or they don't understand it, but they need to get the notice that their sentence has been commuted and that they're free. They can be free. And the most important message that John Currier could have ever received was that you're free, but somehow he didn't get the message for 10 more years. What a sad thing. The church, we can't get so ingrown and so involved in what we're doing if we're not careful. We got so many programs, so many activities. We stay busy, busy, busy doing all different things. And we forget about the fact that it's not all about us. It's about the fact that there is a lost world out there, some 7 billion people that live on this planet, and they need the gospel, and you and I have been called of God to carry the gospel to the world. And the love of God should cause us to do that. Amen. The early church in the book of Acts, they were in fellowship, they were in prayer, they were in the word of God, but that's not all. That wasn't the end of all that they were doing. It was the love of God that was in their heart that motivated them to step forward. And so the worshipers became witnessers. They became proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they influenced the entire known world at that time with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere they went, these ignorant and uneducated men would go into communities and they would literally turn that community upside down by the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would just show the love of God to those communities and to those regions, and the gospel made the difference. It was the message that they desperately wanted to hear and needed to hear, and it's the message that the world needs to hear today. Amen. Billy Graham has probably preached to more people, they say, than anybody ever in history. When he was a young preacher, just starting off, he was holding meetings, revivals, crusades in smaller cities and communities. And he was in a small Midwestern town holding a crusade as a young preacher. And he went out one day to mail a postcard or some mail that he needed to mail. So he stopped a little boy on the sidewalk and said, "Could you tell me where the mailbox is, where the post office is?" And the little boy gave him the directions, "Down this way and turn here," and told him how. And then Billy Graham turned to the young boy and said, "Well, I want you to come to the service tonight. We're holding a crusade, and I'm telling people about Jesus, and I'm telling people how to get to heaven." And the little boy thought for a moment. He said, "Well, I don't think I'm going to come. You didn't even know how to get to the post office." Great comeback. The world doesn't know how to get to Jesus, and they need you. The world needs you. Amen. They need you. And we can't just spend our energy, our time, our money upon what goes on right here. A large part of the budget of this church needs to be advancing the cause of Jesus Christ outside of the walls of this building. I'm thankful for the building. I'm thankful that God has blessed us with the property and the building that we have. And we should be good stewards and taking good care of it. And I understand it. And that's a very important thing. But much more of our budget and our interest should be on the fact that there are people out there in our community. Even though there are some 150 churches in Laurel County, do you know that there's something on an average of, and I got this information this week from a Baptist guy that lives in this community who has been researching this. Over 50,000 people on any given Sunday in Laurel County are not in church. 50,000 people on an average Sunday in Laurel County are not going to church. You thought everybody went to church, didn't you? But no, there's a growing population of people in our community, and many of them desperately need the Lord. Some of them are children and grandchildren, generations that are coming on that are not serving the Lord and are away from God, and they need you and me to impact them. And the love of God demands it. The love of God compels us to do what we must do. D.L. Moody said that sometimes the church reminds me of firemen straightening pictures on the wall of a burning house. Well, how ridiculous does that sound, that you would go into a burning house and say, "That picture's not straight," or, "I don't like the color scheme in here. The house is burning down." We need to see what the urgency of the hour is, and that is that there is a lost world around us, and we need to be compelled because we love the world. He loved them, and because we have been born again of the Spirit, we should love the world as well. Amen. Amen. This is a world that needs to have a heart for the lost. We need to have an interest in people that are lost. We tend to live in our world. When a person gets saved, then the normal order of things that begin to happen is you begin to pull away from your old life. And, of course, that's biblical, that you are separated from your old way of living. You begin to live a Christian life. You pull away, but you pull away almost to the point that you are not at all in a world. You're not in a world where you're seeing people or running into people. And so your life is just in this small little circle. And God has called us to step out of that circle and to love people that don't deserve to be loved, just like you didn't deserve the love of God, to care about a people that are desperately in need. Amen. We know a lot. We've got a lot of information. We've heard lots of teaching, lots of preaching in our life. So we have a lot of information in our heads, but we need more than just information. We need a heart. We need a heart that is concerned about the lost condition of people that are in our world. The Africans, back when missionaries began, some 150 to 200 years, began to flood into Africa, the Africans would call some of those missionaries that came into those nations or came into their different countries of Africa, and they would describe them, and some of them called they called these missionaries hot hearts, because they saw in them that they had such a zeal and such a love and such a heart for lost people, people that are in need. Do you care about the lost that are around you? Or are they just not a part of your life? You're not thinking about them. You're not considering the fact that you're the person that's within reach of them, that you're the person that God has called to love them, to care for them, to involve yourself in their life, and to pour out to the world that desperately is in need. One preacher said to a young man that was preaching, "You sure do like preaching, don't you?" He said, "Oh, I love to preach." And then the man asked him, "But do you love the people that you're preaching to? Do you love those people? Are you just concerned about them? Do you really love people?" That has to be the motivation. That has to be. It was Robert Murray McShane that was a young Scottish preacher, that he was 29 years old when he died. But he made such an impact upon his nation. And one man who was investigating after he had died, wanted to know, why did he have such an impact upon people? So he traveled to the hometown of McShane, went to the church where he was the pastor there, and went in, and there was the caretaker there, and he said, I'm just following in the steps of McShane. I'd like to know about some of the things that he did, and I want to see what made his ministry have such an impact upon people. So he took him into the pastor's office, and there was an open Bible on the desk, and he said, "Sit down in that chair right there." So he sat down in the chair, and he said, "Put your face into that Bible right there and weep tears on that Bible." He said, That's why that he had such an impact. Then he took him into the sanctuary, and he took him up to the pulpit. He said, "Stand right here behind this pulpit." And he did. And he said, "Put your face into your hands on that pulpit and weep and weep." He said, "That's what our pastor used to do. Every time that he would stand in the pulpit, he would pray and he would weep and he would cry, because he had such a love and such a compassion and such a desire to see people affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ." Praise God. Someone said of John Knox that he was so mighty in his yearning for lost souls that I thought he would break the pulpit into pieces. I mean, people who have made an impact upon this world, they love with an immeasurable love. They cared about the lost condition that people were in. And if we're to love God, if we're to love people, it doesn't stop with just those that are part of the family of God. We also are to have a compassion and a love for people that are without. Those out there, those that their lives are all messed up. That means even if they've messed their own life up, And they've made bad decisions, and their life is just wrecked by foolish decisions. Even if they're in that mess because they've put themselves in that place, they still deserve the love of God. Amen. They still deserve the love of God. And that is going to be demonstrated to them through people like you and me. Amen. To a world that desperately needs to know who Jesus is. Amen. Well, that's our calling. That's the call of God that rests heavily upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This building should be and could be packed to overflowing with people, seekers after God, hungry to know God, people that are unloved out there in the world, but here they find people who really care about them, who don't mind wrapping their arms around them. We need to be a place where the sinner can come and know that they can find a cure, know that they can get help for their sinful condition, know that they're going to find forgiveness. They know that they can find a place where they can be brought into the kingdom of God and can find hope for the future. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We forget about the people who impacted our lives, the people who have prayed for us down through the years. We forget about those who carried a burden for us and loved us and invested in us. But all of us have people who've done that. They've invested in you. They've prayed for you. They've cared for you. They took out of their time and they were reaching out to help you, to draw you into the kingdom of God. And we forget about those who have made such an impact upon our lives. But now it's our calling. Now it's our burden and responsibility to love the world, to love people that are out there in this world that desperately need to know about Jesus. And you're the one. You're the one. You're the man. You're the woman. You're the young person that God can use to take this message to a world that is in need. That's why we're about missions here. That's why we always are looking for ways to expand our outreach. We want to reach as many as we can for Jesus Christ. Amen. And it should be because we love. That has to be the motivation. If our motivation is just to get a few more heads in the door and a few more people in the pews, not a good motivation. The world catches on real quickly if they think you're just a recruiter trying to get more people in their church. But if they see that you really love them, if they see that you're willing to invest in them, to help them, to bless them, to encourage them, if they see that, then the impact that love can have is far-reaching. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you that there was a day, Lord, that you reached down to us and your love and grace was known to us. Thank you for that, Lord. And we know there were people. Some of us, it was parents, maybe grandparents, other people in our families, or maybe just people in the church who took it upon themselves to care enough about us, to pray for us, to encourage us, to point us in the right direction. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful love of God that reaches out to people in their need. Thank you, Lord, for the great call that is resting upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to reach out to our city, our community, our region, and even to the world. Oh, God, thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of this. And I know, Lord, what we desperately need is a renewing of that zeal, that love, that desire, Lord, that you have put in our hearts by the love of God. Praise your holy name.